Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I am here with Chris Francis and Eli Kim, my brothers in Cavs, and the Cavs are back on the win train tonight, courtesy of our favorite, least favorite coach. Not my least favorite coach. He's a great coach to get you from bad to good, and a terrible coach to get you from good to great. JB Bickerstaff, coach of the Detroit Pistons. Cav win tonight by about 18 points, 19 points, 110-91. JB Bickerstaff can't coach offense. Oscar Thompson far outplayed in two of the previous four games by his brother, Amen Thompson, who I was impressed as hell by when they took two off the Cavs out of the last four games. And, gentlemen, what are we at right now? We are at 37-9, still the best record in the NBA. Half a game behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, who the Cavs, while the series is 1-1, I feel like the Thunder definitely got the better of the Cavs in the two games. And where are the Cavs at right now? Like, is this three-game losing streak something to be concerned about? Or is it the opponents? Is it just that part of the season? Are the Cavs the best team in the East still, Eli?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little worried, but when you dig in, you know, there's a lot of injuries. There's also, compounded to that, they're playing some good teams. I mean, the Rockets, I was pleasantly, you know, shocked when I saw that they were like, what, the second in the West. Obviously, I think the Philly game was just the overall stinker, but Philly also couldn't miss. Actually, in the two games they played against the Cavs, is the two highest 3-point made for them on the season. So
no, Philly hit like Paul George was just pulling shots out of his ass, right? Like he was hitting those set ISO shots, like over Jared Allen, guys draped all over him. Like that game was definitely fluky, right?
Oh, for sure. And even Eric Gordon was just launching.
Oh, that Eric Gordon 35 footer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get those games where team just can't miss and, you know, you lose and it happens. And obviously I think the Rockets are good opponents. So, I mean, losing to them, it's not like you're losing to the Rockets of the past. You're losing to a pretty decent team.
Rockets or Thunder, best team in the West.
Yes, exactly. So,
well, I think that was a question, and I'll go with Thunder because they have the best player. Unfortunately,
I still have to go with the Thunder. Just given,
I'm going Houston, baby. Houston, baby. Ime Udoka.
Houston is a problem, and I don't think
Houston
it has as much to do.
Houston, we have a problem.
It is not as much to do with Ime Udoka as it has something to do with the guy. I said is the most reminds me of Scottie Pippen since Scottie Pippen, and that's Amen Thompson. That guy is going to be a really good player for a long time. Like, as Chris noted in the break, he was destroying the Cavs in those two games from the dunker spot. Body of a small forward playing in the dunker spot and just killing them on the O boards, on the pass offs, on just being able to out jump everyone on the Cavs. He was impressive as hell to me on both sides of the ball. Like, and when he gets that skill set figured out, he's going to be a freaking terror.
All he needs is a jumper. That's all. That's literally all he needs.
Oh yeah.
And also, I think that's also a case study. I'd be curious to get Eli's take on it too, because he's the draft guy here. But it's a case study of always bet on the gym rat. Bet on the guy with some athleticism, but also is a gym rat. Love
yeah,
the game,
I'm with you.
The game, ease the game. That's the guy to bet on long term. So just curious.
Yeah, where was he drafted? Third?
Wasn't he fourth?
He might have been fourth.
Yeah, and right now
he's top five for sure. He's top five, right?
Yeah, and right now it's looking like maybe he should have gone number one, right?
Ooh. What draft class was that? I don't even
remember. That was this last year.
This past year?
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Wow, he didn't get taken number one?
No, he's in the Victor Wembanyama class.
Oh, he is in the Wemby class. Yeah, yeah. You're right. My bad.
Come on, man.
Okay, I'll give him. You can't go wrong with Wemby, right? But Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson, that's looking like a miss, right?
So he should have gone third. I would still take
or
Miller.
Second. I would still take Miller is a good player, but Amen Thompson. I would maybe pick him
arguably
to second.
Too. Yeah, arguably too. I agree with you. I'd agree with your point, Nidhi. What about you, Eli?
Yeah, I think, obviously Miller being out for probably the rest of the year this year doesn't help.
They're tanking, right? I mean, like, that's the reason why, right?
Yeah. But they're Charlotte. They're always tanking.
True. Perpetual process.
Yeah. So I don't know. I do like Amen Thompson's game. Obviously, I think his brother's a little bit farther behind, evidenced by
today. Well, that's because his coach can't coach offense, so.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't also help that when you're 0 for 6, you're just chucking. I mean,
yeah,
he was minus for the starters, too, which was, you know, saying something. He can impact the game without scoring a single point. I think part of the Cavs' struggles, I think, is really the injuries. I mean, they were missing Mobley for, what, 3-4 games during that stretch?
Yeah, and even the second Houston game, he was really getting his legs back under him.
Even tonight he looked a little slow, and you know he's getting back in shape. It feels like,
yeah.
So I'm not really too concerned overall. I do think and wonder, like, hey, like this Dean Wade period was great when he started and was healthy, but obviously he's going to miss probably. I think on the pod, Chris Fedor's pod, he's probably going to miss a week or two. So it just begs the question, like, hey, do you just try to find the starting lineup that you probably can count on health wise later, or is that Strus, or is that someone at the deadline, or do you
the Cavs have got to get another big? They have to get another person that can play at least the four, and preferably also the five in like small ball lineups.
They also need to find a way to not play Niang.
Well, that is why they need that player.
That's why you need that guy. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Nate. Like, that's what I said in the live thread. I mean, basically, there's a book out on the Cavs now, is I think is the point right now. And the book is get physical with them, crash the boards.
And hunt Niang.
Well, I mean...
No, that Houston hunted him relentlessly.
I mean...
No, anytime any player
around attacking Niang. Niang's like a given you attack. Anytime you see Niang.
Absolutely, but Detroit didn't do it tonight.
I mean, to be fair, a lot worse offensive players.
Yeah, to be fair, the Cavs limited his minutes tonight compared to the previous games.
Yeah, and well, exactly. And that was the story tonight to me. Is the story was finally, the Cavs got an injection of athleticism and quickness and toughness, physicality with CPJ and Jalen Tyson inserted into the rotation tonight. It's clear. Like they, even though like the production wasn't there, it was just clear from the vibe and the effort and the intangibles that they were just providing some hustle and physicality and just fearlessness into the lineup that they need against the more physical athletic teams like Detroit and Houston, you know? So credit to Kenny Anderson for, you know, making a little adjustment, giving a little play time to CPJ. I think the next man up that you need to be curious about is Amani Bates. He's healthy now. He's got length. He's already played a little bit of NBA time. So, you know, let's see some youth and athleticism injected into the lineup.
I'm not going to argue with you. You know, my take on the Georges Niang situation is the second Houston game, Georges Niang played about as perfect an offensive game as you can play. 7 of 9, 6 of 7 from 3, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 0 turnovers, was still -1 on the game. Like, they can't score more points than the other team when he's on the court. And when he's perfect offensively, it's a wash. Like, that's how bad he is of an offensive player, or as a player overall. He can't rebound. He's the worst help defender I've ever seen. He looks incompetent at times on the court. I feel like how in shape he was when the season started. He put on that holiday weight and just is throwing his fat around on the court, and it's not good. Like, even Tristan Thompson looks better than him right now. It's just it's not good. And as fat guy
on fat guy violence, really, Nate?
Absolutely. I'm a self-hating fat man myself. So you know, testify. Tristan Thompson must be cycling up on the juice because he's been playable though in those three games.
They're going to Miami next.
They are. But Georges Niang, like the Philly game, the first Houston game, and tonight he looks hapless. If he can't hit threes, he is not a good player.
You spend 10 minutes on Georges Niang. What's the solution then?
Don't play him.
give me the slob. Give me
anybody on that team. Play Craig Porter Jr. power forward would be better than Georges Niang. Play JT Thor. Like, anybody on that. I said tonight play Luke Travers. Anybody on that team would be better than Georges Niang right now. Like, move him, play anybody over him. You play an absolutely perfect game and you can't outscore the other team when you're on the floor. Yeah, go to the bench. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You know, it's over. Like, just get the F off the floor. And also, Max Strus, who finally started playing some defense tonight, you know, Windmill on the Cavs, the blog comment board, talked about how bad the Cavs are with Niang, how bad the Cavs are with Strus, and how epically bad they are with both of them on the floor. At least Max Strus played some defense tonight, like, and stepped it up a little. Georges Niang he's a turd burger. Like, he is all about the vibes and should not be playing. He played 28 minutes against Houston two nights ago. He's not a good player. He's awful. He's the worst. Anyway, sorry. With that, we'll be right back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Eli Kim, Chris Francis, Eli. What are the Cavs do about the George Niang situation? Because you heard my answer and it was full of invectives.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can find ways to not play him. It doesn't help that Mobley's been out for a bit. It doesn't help that Isaac Okoro's been out for a bit. I mean, ideally,
Dean Wade.
There are games. Yeah, Dean Wade's going to be out. Like, you can play Okoro. I'd rather have Okoro trying to battle at the four than play Niang. Or obviously you can go super small and stretch the other guys to do that too. So it's just like you're saying, even when he's like lights out and makes all these threes, it kind of reminds me of me a little bit when I play pickup and I'm making threes, but my guy's cooking my ass on the other end because I can't do it.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
To the Korean Georges Niang or the YMCA Columbus right now.
Hey, put some respect on his name. He is the
Vibes King. Vibes
no, he's the Korean Channing Frye, not the Korean Georges Niang.
Yeah, because he's got height.
He's got height, and
Niang's humongous.
He's got height, and he's got the riz.
Oh, I appreciate it, but all kidding aside, I do think you just got to find ways to minimize him. And I do think the Cavs go through periods where they do minimize him, and then so for some reason, maybe they feel like they just don't want to wear other guys out. Or
no, he's an innings eater. I mean, I get it. But it's frustrating.
I think if there's a flaw in Kenny Atkinson's overall approach, it's probably the same flaw that infects a lot of NBA coaches, which is if between two choices, they're going to choose the veteran. So in this case, it's Niang over Jalen Tyson, especially
and JT Thor.
Yeah, on a team that needs to win games, like every game, like. At this point, and it's been the case this season for the Cavs, as soon as they went on that 15-game win streak to begin the season, it became a season where you cannot take a game off because you're trying to get the number one seed in the East and you're trying to possibly get the number one seed overall. Like, you're trying to get a championship this year, you know? Yeah. So you can't even take a game off this year. So with that kind of pressure, you know, a coach is going to go with the 10-year veteran versus, let's develop the rookie who might suck for 20 games, you know, and cost you a couple.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the luxury that a 3-game losing streak provides you is, okay, it gives you the ability to change it up a little. And we've seen Jalen Tyson. Like Georges Niang, he's an innings eater. He's a guy that's going to buy you minutes in the regular season, but he is not going to be playable in the postseason, and that's my concern. Like, these three losses against Houston twice and Philly, they were all three fluky. Like, the Cavs were in each of those games. The Cavs, frankly, should have won the first game against Houston because Darius Garland, what did he miss? Two out of three free throws?
Yeah, he did. Let me give you a hypothetical with Niang. So in the playoffs, would you guys rather lose earlier in the playoffs with Tyson or Okoro getting minutes at the four, or would you rather have Niang ceiling capping the playoffs? Like, which do you think is worse? If the Cavs flame out, but they played Tyson, they played Okoro to try and inject some athleticism and youth into their rotations in the playoffs versus Niang.
Make a move. I don't like either option. It's my Kobayashi Maru. You know, go make a move. Don't play either of those. Neither of those are sustainable choices.
What's the move? Slop King.
Herb Jones.
Slop Kings. What the move?
Herb Jones.
I would love Herb Jones, but I just don't.
Okay, Eli. Herb Jones or Cam Johnson, which would you choose?
Oh, I would pick Herb Jones.
Ooh. Yeah, why is that?
I think for some reason the Cavs now need more defense. I think they can manufacture and force offense easier.
I'm with you.
So like,
yeah, we do have the best offense in the NBA now.
I think there are certain games, obviously, when they don't shoot well that they get screwed, but I just don't think they have the versatility defense-wise. Like, they're good if – their defense is good if the opposing team doesn't try to take advantage of their lack of length. But in the playoffs, that's, like, the whole point of the game.
They're it's a possession game. Do that.
So that's why you need more guys.
And look who they're going to be playing in the playoffs. It's going to be Boston or Orlando or
–
New York, the offensive rebound kings. Like, that – The sad thing is the Cavs' top three teams in terms of competition are the top three teams most poised to take advantage of their weaknesses.
Well, what's interesting, I looked at some stats recently, and it said that the Cavs have actually been okay against Boston and Milwaukee. The teams that they've struggled against is with New York and Philly.
And Atlanta and Houston.
Atlanta, yeah, right. Yeah. But it seems like the Knicks and the Philly have had our number, at least in the Evan Mobley era.
Now, that being said, I'm with Eli. That last Philly game was totally fluky.
Sure. Right.
Like, it was shooting variance just bit him in the ass, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I don't want to get too far into slop season. Let's cover tonight's game a little bit. And let's talk about some of the good things. Like, as much as Georges Niang frustrates me, Donovan Mitchell might not be the best player on this team right now. Like, Darius Garland's playing out of his mind. Darius Garland's one of the best players in the NBA right now. Would either of you disagree?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. DG to PG. All NBA, baby.
No, he is. He is absolutely lighting it up. He's one of the best point guards in the league, shooting, scoring. One of the things I love is when he gets in the pocket, like from the free throw line down to the restricted area, like his floater might be the best in the league right now. Like, he is so good at reading lob or floater and then just converting what's there, right? And then just that extension layup. He's got so many dribble moves. Like, I love the
Steve
way
Nash 2.0.
well, you know, Brad Daugherty says he's like Kyrie Irving, and I don't think the comparison is unfair. Like,
Kyrie's probably the better scorer, but DG's definitely the better passer, in my opinion.
But also, just the way he can control the ball and has the ball on a string all the
handling?
Time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Both elite handles, for sure.
Yeah, like, they're both sham god level, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's the reason. That's the whole reason why you keep, and that's why I think Kobe's reticent to blow up DG and Donovan, because it proved its worth against the first OKC game, for instance, where they wanted to double on the ball and we had enough playmakers on the back end to finish the playoff. Whereas with OKC, all they have is SGA and nothing. Without Chet, they have nothing on the back end.
For sure. Now, I thought that second OKC game was super interesting because I think it unlocked a level of OKC that we weren't sure they had. And I also think we literally got OKC's best and probably the worst just out of the gates to the end of the game performance of the Cavs all year. Like, they just got roasted that game. But one of the things I really am impressed is how well they play without actual centers. Like, without Hardy and Holmgren, like, they literally play that game where they have 6'7 forwards that can do everything, and they can just switch everything, and it's truly positionless basketball, right? Yeah. And that's really interesting to watch. Like, OKC, they contain multitudes. They're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs, right? Like, do anybody on
they're
this
frauds?
Really?
Totally soft. Soft cream puffs, not worried about them. Next.
Eli, who do you think the two best teams in the West are? Who do you think the Cavs are playing? Who do you think is in the Western Conference Finals?
Man, I actually think it's Denver. I think they're on fire. And I think they found something with Russ and Jokic.
I agree, Eli.
But I still think it's the Thunder, man. I don't, as much as I like the Rockets, I feel like their offense is just a little bit limited with their shooting. Maybe that's a bad take.
Yeah, they seem like a team that's going to get out-executed in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I feel like they have some great, I mean, like, if they're playing Amen Thompson a lot, like, I feel like that could not necessarily hurt them, but it's just he's going to get picked on and be forced to shoot. Like, they're going to bait him.
They're going to give him the Okoro treatment.
Exactly. Well,
also, Ime kind of comes from the Tibbs school of eight-man rotations in the regular season. I just noticed that he's playing those guys like 40-plus minutes. How long can they sustain that?
I mean, they are super young, but yeah, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah, and I just think the Rockets are just they're like a year away. I mean, if Eason becomes a little bit better, if...
do you feel better about him if they get Butler? What do you think if they get Butler?
I don't know why you do that if you're the Rockets. Like, I don't know which...
Oh, because you have the capital and he's a good... He could take you to another level in the playoffs.
Couldn't he, though? I don't know which team should actually do it, to be honest. Like, he sucked in the playoffs last year.
Well, I think he's washed.
Didn't we agree it should be the Suns, right?
Eh.
But even the Suns, I'm like, eh. Like, it's not like it doesn't really change the.
Do you really want KD? Do you really want KD and Jimmy Butler on the same team?
For comedic purposes, of
course. But like, if you like, I don't know if that seems a very combustible basket of toxicity.
The Suns are screwed right now anyway. They need to make a move. They can't.
Oh, I'm with you. Speaking of which, would you take Nurkic if you're the Cavs? If you could get Nurkic for Georges Niang and parts.
I'm concerned about Nurkic now because they're saying it was Budenholzer that's kicked him out of the rotation, that it wasn't a front office thing or a KD thing.
Yeah, I've heard the same, but...
That to me is a huge red flag. Bud's a good coach. He's not just like eliminating good players without good reasons, you know?
Fair. But that whole team, any team that KD's on, throw everything out of the book because he just gives every team he's on weird vibes. He throws the vibe off. He doesn't have the riz. Sorry. I've got a millennial kid, and here's not millennial, Jesus, a Zoomer kid, and even she tells me nobody uses Riz anymore. But
she's right. Listen to your daughter.
Fair.
Only the Rizzler can use the Riz now.
There you go.
And he's a lame-o. Get that. Kid
I'm
out
a lame-o.
Here.
Hey guys, I'm
get
as lame
kid
as
out
they
of
get.
Here.
But no, I just. Any team that KD's on is just gets infected with his weirdness. So I would take a chance, but to me, the guy the Cavs should be going after is Jonas Valanciunas. Like, that guy's just sitting there for the taking.
Bye-bye, Niang.
Absolutely.
We hardly knew ye.
But also the other guy that the rumor... Like, I would not be surprised to see... The Cavs make a move for Kevin Love, too.
Let's go.
He would actually be perfect right now for their bench units. Like, there's one thing Kevin Love can do, and it's shore up your defensive rebounding.
Exactly. Literally, if Niang would just rebound, it wouldn't even... We could survive then. If he could just freaking rebound, he'd be fine. But
nobody's terrible at it.
Yeah, he doesn't even do that. No. Sad. Tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So, anyway, tonight's game. Detroit. Basketball. They're They're a try-hard team, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have no talent outside of Cade and Ivy.
I would say, who's their power forward? The big chonky guy.
Beef Stewart.
Yeah, Beef Stewart, I would say, is talented in that he plays hard and he throws his weight around. Right. He plays with an edge.
Duren at all?
I like Duren. I just think
Duren looked okay tonight. Duren played well. Would you guys agree?
Oh, I would. I think he's a couple years away. I think he's like the classic big man that isn't really going to develop till he hits like 23, 24. I mean, I wouldn't say he reminds me of Jared Allen. He's not that athletic, but I think he'll be in the league for another, 8-9 years. Yeah, no, they have some pieces, but yeah, they're a ways away. Like, I'm not sure what they're doing from a team standpoint. Like, it's basically, tonight it was Cade doing his best Kobe impersonation of just chucking up shots over and over. And maybe that's what they need to do.
That is what they need to do. That is their best offense.
No, I'm with you, and it's probably the best for his development of just, repetition of usage, right? But it's not fun to watch, and it's not sustainable for winning, at least in the short term. So, at least the Cavs got back on the schneid, right? And we saw some good performances tonight. Excuse me. Who did? I'm going through the box scores here. Hot Googling action, right?
Darius looked good.
Darius looked good.
Jared Allen dominated that second quarter.
Jared Allen, to me, is the guy. So you remember last year when, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, when Isaac Okoro was super struggling, and anytime he got on the floor, just it would demoralize the whole rest of the team. That's what I feel like Jared Allen is like now when he has to play with George Niang. Like, he just gives up. Like, I just know if my guy beats me, I have no help and it's over, right? But he did have a really good game tonight, 15, 11, and 4. A couple of stocks, like, and also having Evan Mobley back, who had 11 and 14 and 4 stocks. So it's just, a lot of it's health. Max Strus led the team in plus minus tonight. It was the best Max Strus game I've seen in a while. Mitchell had another solid night. I mean, Mitchell had a great game in the second game against Houston. But I almost feel like Mitchell is having a hard time figuring out where his spots are supposed to come. Do you guys get that vibe?
I feel like he always tries to take over at like the wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like when Darius is cooking, I feel like he like will hijack it.
Like that Philly game, I felt like there was way too much hero ball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the Cavs were coming back, and then he just takes that pull-up three-pointer. And I'm just like, everything was working.
Yeah, and they got super ISO heavy, right?
Yeah, and their offense was really gelling, and I was just like, gosh, he really did that and just totally screwed himself. I don't know. I think sometimes he's, like, too good, and he just thinks he has to do it as the best player on the team.
I totally agree with you, Eli. I think you're onto something. I think this season's all about him learning how to find that balance, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair, and it's hard for him. I mean, these aren't things I don't think he can correct.
Yeah, and I think it's just as he watches himself on film and understands kind of what he can do better, I think it's very correctable. It just sucks that they have to lose for him to like drastically change. I think today he played a little bit maybe too laid back. I mean, he still took a lot of shots, don't get me wrong, but he let Darius cook a lot more today, I feel like. So I think he learns, but it's just, I just think there are certain times when games get tight that he just reverts too much to hero ball, and that has kind of always been a criticism of him. So
I think the other thing he needs to do is he needs to get better at moving without the ball. Like, he's great at finding shots to spot up, but he's not a great cutter. Like, he needs to get better at moving without the ball so that he's creating space for himself and teammates. Like, I feel like too often he finds an open spot and just throws his hand up instead of kind of forcing the action a little bit with cutting and movement.
Piggybacking off of Eli's point, I think, like, that's why I'm on board with Mobley becoming the clutch time guy. Like, finally, let's hand it over to him, because that's the guy who I trust the most ultimately among the core four in terms of making the right basketball play in the most pressurized situation, as well as the guy who can most easily get his shot off in a pressurized situation.
I mean, it's hard for me to pick him over Garland right now with the way they're playing, but he certainly...
That's fair. That's fair, because Garland usually makes the right play too, but...
Yeah, but Garland has the built-in height limitations, right? Yeah,
exactly. He's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, but he's playing out of his mind, and I'll fully own that the Garland... Maybe the Cavs should think about trading him talk was... I mean, also, it's kind of my job at time to play devil's advocate, but it seems a little silly at this point. Anyway.
It's definitely silly, but I was also with you on that train to trade his ass. So.
Well, last year, I mean, he definitely took his lumps last year, and it was a rough year. Like, and this year, he's one of the best. He is among the best clutch players in the NBA. Like, there's nobody I would rather have with the ball in his hands with 3 minutes left. And that's honestly why that first Houston game was so shocking when he missed three free throws.
Well, he's one of the most entertaining players too. Like, yeah. Everything about his, like, saying, like, comparing him to Kyrie, like, Kyrie's one of the funnest watches, you know, because of the skill level.
Yeah, but he doesn't come with all the other BS that you get with Kyrie. All the off the court, just, I got to be the smartest guy in the room, even though I sound like a dumbass, that Kyrie gives you sometimes, or at least did before he got to Dallas. You don't ever get that from DG. He just seems to play and carry himself with a joy that is a little bit infectious. So, and with that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs a Podcast, and it's slop season. It's slop season, peeps. Chris Francis, Eli Kim, we're in slop season. The trade deadline coming up in about, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks? The Cavs, are they going to make a move? Who's available? Chris was availing himself of a scorching hot takes about the way the Cavs are managing their injuries right now. What was that take, Chris?
Well, it's Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro, and Dean Wade that are out right now. So you do the math.
Do you really? So do you think those guys are on the block or they're chips?
Oh, they're definitely the chips. They're definitely the chips.
What do you think of that? Do you think the Cavs can send away? I mean, to me, I'm fine with if Okoro moves on. Okoro he's a nice young player, but he doesn't rebound at all. He's not a guy that I don't think anybody on this team trusts in the playoffs on offense. And to me, the guy I'm most worried about losing is Caris, which is weird given the way the end of last season shook out. But Caris has played out of his mind at times this season and has won games for them and is probably the most Swiss Army of those three guys. And Dean Wade is a guy that I'm not sure he has a lot of value with his injury history. I don't know. Eli, you see any truth to Chris's theory here?
I think the Karis trade stuff is real. I mean, even Chris Fedor has talked about it, and I think if he's talking about it, there's a possibility. So he did mention that there might be a chance that they trade him and then he signs in the offseason because he's an expiring deal and he could take, you know, come back on a below market deal because he likes the Cavs so much. I'm not sure they've like talked about it, but I think that's just him thinking what the management is all front office is thinking.
No, that's fair. That's a good, it's a spicy take.
Kind of like a Rubio situation, right? But hopefully. Yeah.
Without the catastrophic.
So what kind of deal do you? Catastrophic
life changing injury.
What kind of deals do you think that are out there that the Cavs could make, Eli? Like, what is realistic? Do you think they have a chance at the Cam Johnson deal?
I think they do, but I also think that they're not going to shake the whole farm up for him. I think they like the continuity of the team. But like if a guy like, I don't think he's going to become available like Trey Murphy. I mean, that's a guy they go all in on. Herb Jones, to some extent, I think they would probably do, send a little bit more.
What about one Harrison Barnes?
I don't know if I'd want to trade for him, to be honest. I think he's struggling a lot.
Yeah, but he
doesn't solve the essential problem of physicality and rebounding.
Well, and athleticism at his age, right?
He makes us worse in that regard. So that's to me a step backwards.
I mean, he does shoot well, though. So, I mean, and he's big body, bigger body than.
True. Longer body than Niang.
Yeah, he can be worse than George Niang.
Yeah, and he could probably, as he gets older, he just plays more four, as a little bit smaller four. I think that works. But the problem with that is, would you. Harrison Barnes, I think, doesn't he have another year of his contract?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably.
I think so, yeah. But I wouldn't worry about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have another year at $19 million. So,
well, that's why you'd probably do Niang. You'd probably have to include Niang in that deal, maybe.
I think you do that deal if you can get off of Niang for next year, too. You know.
Yeah, but here's the question. What do you got to give up for that? Is it a pair of seconds? Or do you
absolutely,
probably
yeah,
Tyson?
There's no first round pick in this deal. Like this is like the most uninteresting slop of all slop. Harrison Barnes for Georges Niang and a couple second round picks.
Oh well, my gosh! Most
salary, so it'd be like you'd have to probably get Tyson.
Be still my beating heart.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Wait for Nate to distill it down to the most boring trade possible.
I don't hate the idea, though. I think that's a very decent trade on the margin.
Is there a big trade that you hear out there, Nate Eli? Like, is there a big, like, could, because Kobe can kind of moves in silence and then all of a sudden drops a bomb. Is there anything like that on the horizon?
I don't think so.
Do you think they could spin off a piece from like a Butler trade?
They always could, but the problem is their salaries aren't like super great and they don't have a lot of flexibility until the apron. So,
I mean, that's the thing with the Cavs. What are they still like $2 million over?
Yeah, but they get so. Do you think they dump TT? Like, is that what they're shaping up to do, Eli? To get him?
I don't think cutting TT gets him there. I think
it does.
Does it?
Yeah. Either Sam or TT both have non-guarantees this year.
Which is there's no way you cut Merrill, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
You could probably get something for Merrill.
You could get a second for Merrill, absolutely, at his salary. The value he brings, strictly from a gravity standpoint, you could at least get a second-round draft pick.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not even a question.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think they do. I do think you don't go into the tax unless you get a guy like Herb Jones or Cam Johnson. Like there's no
they're in the tax though. That's the weird thing. They're just barely in the tax
out,
right
though,
now.
Is the point? They could easily get out.
Yeah. Like, so if they don't feel like they can get one of those big guys, they're going to make a move to get under attacks, like,
right,
no matter what.
Right. What do you think that move is? It just cut TT, Eli?
I think they're probably trade Niang away and try to get something, like a take a minimum guy
slightly
back.
Less. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's what you do. And even if you have to attach a second, I think you do that just so you guarantee
you don't
you give a little wiggle room. You can
right.
sign like another, you know, playoff veteran.
Yeah. They're starting like, so what, like they're screwed next year, right, Eli?
Oh yeah. There's no way out of the luxury tax for next year. Just because with the extension starting
what's
to kick
it shaping
in.
Up to be next year?
They'll definitely be a tax team. They'll definitely be a first. They're going to try to be a first apron team for probably the next 2 years. But essentially, they can't bring back LeVert at the number he's at. His cap hold will take him well into the apron. So they have to make some kind of move or, you know, sign him early to kind of preserve their flexibility to go forward.
Wow. So let me give you a scenario. If the Cavs, I'm going to throw out names, and what do you, well, actually, we're going to take a break real quick, but then I'm going to throw out names, and you're going to tell me what the Cavs would have to give up, theoretically, to get them. You know, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Eli Kim, Chris Francis. I don't know why I say my name first, because I'm the least valuable player here. I'm the Georges Niang of this podcast.
I thought you were about to say George Costanza.
Well, I feel like he would have similar results at power forward. Anyway, the Cavs, I'm going to give you some names. What would the Cavs have to give up to get Cam Johnson, Eli?
A lot. I think they'd have to do, definitely have to do LeVert and probably Tyson.
And a first?
And probably a first, honestly.
Yeah, and they only have one tradable first, right? 30-31?
20-31.
Yeah, or 20-31, right. They're not giving up a first 1,008 years in the, 6 years in the future.
Yeah, so I think that's probably what they'd have to give. Maybe even like LeVert, Okoro, and then maybe they could get away with not giving a first.
Yeah, but they'd have to give up another player because the way the salary would work out.
They'd have to take back like a...
Yeah, a mid-level player.
Yeah. I think if you do include a first, you have to get off Niang's contract in that deal somehow too.
Yeah, for sure. Yay or nay, Chris, on that deal?
Oh, absolutely not.
You love Jalen Tyson, right?
Yeah. And, well, and it's about what it's, like I said, it's clearly obvious what the Cavs lack. It's rebounding.
And he's not a guy that gives you that, right?
Exactly. In fact, he potentially makes it worse.
Well, you can't be worse than Niang and Okoro,
no,
in my opinion.
You can be.
Can
Hello,
you?
Isaac Okoro. Hello, Isaac Okoro.
No, I said then Niang and Okoro.
Oh. Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, you can be. You actually can be. So, yeah, it could be a step back. As well as he shoots and as well as his offensive game is, it could be a step back defensively.
Interesting. Okay, let me give you another scenario. Jonas Valanciunas, Eli.
What are we giving up, though? That's the real question here.
That's what I'm asking you. you're my capologist. I mean, my opinion is you're giving up probably Georges Niang or... Okay, let's say they're giving up Isaac Okoro straight up for... And maybe a second for Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll do that. I think Valanciunas could be washed very soon.
I think he probably is washed, but he's also a big body who can shoot and rebound and block a couple shots and set screens. Yeah. Like, he's still better than Georges Niang as a third big in the playoffs, right?
100%.
I mean, that's the thing to me. You've got to figure... what can the Cavs get away with playing for 15 minutes a night in the playoffs? And that if your answer is George Niang, you're not getting out of the second round.
Exactly. You just got to pray Dean Wade is healthy at this rate if you're not going to make any moves.
Right. Yeah.
Well, right. But that's why they have to make a move, right? Well, and the other thing, the great thing about Wade is if he is healthy, he can play three positions, right? Like, he can play small ball five, he can play the four, and he can play the three. So it's not like you can't find minutes for him if he's healthy, and he can rebound from any one of those spots. The issue is if you're having to play George Niang at the four, you're screwed because you're not going to be, you're playing 4-on-5 on defense, and you're not going to be able to rebound.
Yep.
That's the issue. That's why you have to have a four or a five that can play with either Allen or Mobley at in some respect, right? Or absolutely. Or play when one of those guys is off the floor. At least be able to play with Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any other way around it if you want to get out of the second round. And that's where I'm like, okay, Jonas Valanciunas would be an option. Plus, he's on a very reasonable number. There's another guy. Nurkic, I think everybody hates his contract number because he's at $20 million. I would bet you that Phoenix would probably give a pick to get off of Nurkic's contract and take a guy like Caris LeVert, but I'm not sure that would be a good trade for the Cavs.
Yeah. Then another player, though, that kind of fits that. Larry Nance Jr.
From Atlanta?
Yes.
See, I think Atlanta wouldn't trade with us. I think Atlanta is too close to the playoffs, and I think Atlanta thinks they can beat us.
Interesting.
I mean,
yeah, I'd agree with that. That's the reason why Nance would work. I like the suggestion. There's continuity too, a little bit, because I think he's played with a few of the guys still on the roster. So that's a great idea, but I don't think they'd trade with us.
Actually, the guy I love that I think would be the perfect 4-5 for them would be Chris Boucher from Toronto, who is on the last year of a $10.8 million deal. Is a guy that can shoot the three, block shots, play the four or the five. He's 32. Is giving up a guy like Okoro for him, would that be worth it for a title run?
Giving up anybody taller for Okoro is worth it.
You mean getting anyone taller for Okoro worth it? As long as that person isn't named Kelly Olynyk.
No, I'd take Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, no. That's a bridge too far.
We're trying to win a ring. No,
Chris,
no,
it was nice working with you at Cavs Blog.
Come on, Eli, back me up here.
Eli. Kelly Olynyk is no go. He's a douche nozzle.
Wait, no. Let's hear from Eli.
Kelly Olynyk, Canadian douche nozzle.
Oh man, that's.
That is it. Well, you would not trade Okoro straight up for Kelly Olynyk. Don't even tell me that you would.
I don't think I would. Yeah.
Are you kidding
but
me?
Are
you kidding me? You really would not do that.
Would I sign Kelly Olynyk to like a $5 million deal as a free agent? Maybe.
Would you trade Okoro straight up for Chris Boucher?
I don't think so. I do like Chris Boucher. That's a good
Like, that's right at the level you'd think about it, right? Like, you don't think so, but you wouldn't hang up the phone right away.
Correct. That's, like, that's a good way to describe.
Like, maybe if Toronto kicked a second in, you'd think about it.
Yeah, if they kicked in their second, 100%, but they probably won't.
No, yeah, fair. Who else we got out there? We got the Trailblazers. Who they got on their squad? I mean, they have the worst freaking contracts. DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Denny Avdija. Okay, here's the guy. Would you roll the dice on Robert Williams III for for Isaac Okoro. Isaac Okoro, Robert Williams III, and a knee ligament to be named later.
What's Robert Williams' contract right now?
Is he, he's got another year left after this one at $12.4 million.
I'd do it. Absolutely.
Would you give up a future? I would 100% give up like all the Cavs' future seconds for Robert Williams III, and if they would take George Niang, I would do that in a heartbeat. Even though Robert Williams III can't shoot for a lick, he can at least play center and power forward next to Evan Mobley.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like,
what about Jude Collins? You're a
Robert Williams III fan, Eli?
When he's healthy, but he's not very healthy.
Right, yeah, you're rolling the dice, right? You're living on borrowed time.
supposedly he's looked better recently, but that's very recently.
Yeah, but also he's looked recently as we've gotten close to the trade deadline and they want to get something for him. But yeah, I mean, to your point, Eli, John Collins, what would you give up for? John Collins has a stupid ass contract. He's 26.5 million for this year and next. That contract is nutty. But if you could get off of Niang and Okoro, would you do it?
I think so.
Would Utah do it?
No, Utah would probably want Tyson.
Yeah, like you'd have to give up a first or Tyson to get that.
And unfortunately, they traded away all the first. I would.
That was such a dumb trade.
I would have done like, hey, we'll get like one of those years is like a, you know, like a, to clear it up, you just like give them the first, you know?
Or yeah, you like right.
A protection off or something.
Yeah, but I don't think they can do that because the Stepien rules, right?
Yeah, but they would have maybe played ball and be like, hey, we'll give you this pick back for like next year's swap on, you know, protected or something.
Yeah, there's Drew Eubanks from Utah. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of big guys. I mean, the other guy I like from them is, what's his stupid name?
Lauri Markkanen coming home, baby.
No, Walter Kessler. But everybody says that they love Walter Kessler. But the problem is they have so many big guys on that team. Like, they got Filipowski after him.
Yeah.
Although Filipowski, how good is he going to be, right?
Not as good as Cooper Flagg.
He'd be a decent backup big on a good team.
Who, Filipowski?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, but then you got to deal with his nutty girlfriend or nutty fiance. The cradle robber.
Don't hate the player.
The cradle robber. Mrs. Robinson. Oh, man. Who else we got out there? Brooklyn. So Brooklyn has, there's always a train rolling into the station, Chris.
Choo-choo.
Ben Simmons, power forward.
No way. Never.
If we were professionals, we'd have a cut-up of Eli's...
hot Ben Simmons takes.
Yeah, through the years, rolling back the years.
Oh, my God, that'd be so great. But, yeah, I mean, the only guys that I really want from the Nets... the only guy I would want from the Nets is Cam Johnson. But I wouldn't want Cam Johnson without a big man to go with him, right? It doesn't make sense without somebody to rebound as well. I'd take De'Ron Sharp with him.
To me, the obvious deal was always Niang, Okoro in a second. Get her done, Kobe.
For Cam Johnson?
Yep.
Oh, that's not going to happen. You would either have to give up Tyson or first to get that.
Nope. Sorry.
I love you, Chris. Okay, what about Vucevic from Chicago? Huh?
the money's just too hard with Vucevic. I feel like.
$20 million next year. Yeah, that's rough. Like,
well, they just extended him too, right?
No, yeah. They didn't. Did they?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
What? Why would they do that?
I told you, the Chicago is the funniest run team possibly in the NBA.
And they're talking about, trading Zach LaVine for Bradley Beal, which is the most Madden trade ever, right?
Beal said no. Beal already said no.
Yeah, I'm not going to Chicago.
Which is Chicago. It's Beal saving Chicago from itself because LaVine is already better. Still,
so great.
Insanity.
Chicago is just—they're the most mid-obsessed team. Like,
absolutely,
they're so obsessed with being the eighth seed perpetually. It's so great. I love it. Chicago play-in bowl.
What I told my Chicago Bulls fans friends is that the Chicago mm-hmm. Bulls are an MK Ultra program ran on the city of Chicago.
Okay, let's go to the Pelicans. Like the Pelicans, you got to think they're gonna spin some of those pieces off. Like
Niang and Okoro for Zion.
It's not enough money. It's okay. Only 23 okay. million. Fine. He makes 36.
We'll throw in Karis too. You twisted my arm.
I don't hate it, but I think it would definitely cap the Cavs would be in a quandary for sure at that point. Like I think they're a team. I think there's no way CJ McCollum ends up in LA by the end of the year.
Really?
I think he ends up with LeBron. Like, that just seems to me, like, he's been scoring like crazy lately, and it feels like they're featuring him so they can move him. And, you know, full disclosure, huge CJ McCollum fan, Stark County representing. I have mutuals with CJ McCollum. He's a great dude. Love to see him end up in a winning situation, and he's nothing but class, so. But he can't play a lick of D. But I'd love
to see McCollum on the Cavs if like they didn't have Okoro.
Yeah, like he doesn't make sense on this Cavs team. Yeah. He made sense on a Cavs team with LeBron, probably like crazy, but yeah. But yeah, I'm all about like Herb Jones. The other guy I would love from although he's pretty much washed at this point is Javonte Green. Like that team has just fallen off a cliff. Like what is Chris who's their stupid GM?
Who?
A former Cavs NBA champion.
David Griffin?
David Griffin. What has David Griffin got to do to get fired? Right?
Trade Zion to the Cavs for that package.
That's yeah, right. Okay, fair.
That's right. Let's go, baby. Zion. Go Duke. Brotherhood, baby.
Although they still have a boatload of picks, right?
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I mean, they should be tanking this year.
There is some kind of curse on the New Orleans Pelicans, apparently.
Really?
I'm not sure what they do about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about this.
I mean, Zion, Ingram, the list goes on and on. You know what I mean? Like, look at their past.
Oh, I thought there was like a real story here. You're just reading the tea leaves.
It is real. No, I mean, it is real. Look at look at it.
It's on the real reel?
It's on the real reel.
I'm so old. But that will be right back. Welcome back to Caps Podcast. Chris Francis, Eli Kim, Nate Smith, not necessarily in that order. We're digging through slop season with the Cavs and the rest of the NBA. Any other trades out there, Eli, you could see the Cavs being a part of? Anybody on Charlotte? I'm looking at Charlotte and
Miles they have Bridges. There's rumors that they're going to trade
him. Miles Bridges has a dumbass contract. He's due 80, let me do my math here, $81 million over this season and the next two.
Wait, there's legitimate rumors, Eli?
Yes.
Still?
What do you mean? What's the scoop there?
The scoop is that they think like he's not part of the he doesn't fit their timeline now.
Right. Oh, yeah, because they suck right now too. They're openly tanking right now for Flag.
Yeah, and they're kind of stupid.
Flag, keep them in the state of North Carolina.
Well, I mean, it's not the dumbest idea, but also, I want no part of Miles Bridges. I think he's a trash human being. So,
I agree. He's also not super big, so he doesn't solve the 4-5 problem for the Cavs.
I mean,
I think he does. I think he solves that. I think the question is obviously his character.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think he solves the 4-5 problem, but I think he's a 3-4. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, which is what I think they actually need anyway. I think they more so need a 3-4 Dean Wade-ish 3-4 big wing than they do, small ball big.
The guy I would love from that team is Mark Williams. The guy is so huge.
Sure.
But
the
I don't think
Mark Williams is. Do you think he'd love to be the third big for a long time?
I don't know. I mean,
Not right now in his career. His career right now, he wants minutes, I would bet.
Yeah. And also, yeah, exactly. But also, maybe if you get Mark Williams to spin off Jared Allen at some point. But I don't think you would make that trade now if you think the Cavs can compete for a championship.
Okay, that's the trade. Right. Mark Williams and Miles Bridges for Jared Allen.
Wow. I don't think that fits Hornets' timeline unless you spin them off to a third team.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, that.
But the Hornets, let me throw that around. The Hornets get Nurkic, and then Phoenix gets Jared Allen. That would be a deal that all teams might think about.
How do you generate enough picks to make that happen?
For the Hornets?
Because Phoenix has no picks.
Well, and the Cavs
the Cavs have one pick.
You'd have to find another team that would want Jared Allen for picks then, other than the Hornets.
Exactly.
Maybe the Lakers. The Lakers would do it for the 30-31.
It's funny. Actually, Phoenix has those three Cavs picks, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, the Hornets, it's weird because there's a lot of teams that are just, like, openly tanking right now. The other guy that's out there, I don't think the Cavs would trade with Atlanta, but there's also Clint Capella is out there.
I mean, yeah, he's useful, but I mean, like, he'd probably cost too much.
He's going to go to another team out west, I feel like. Because they just made Josh, what's his stupid ass name? Onyeka Okongwu, their starting center. And Clint Capella's in the last year of his deal, so I got to think he's going to end up out west. Yeah, I don't know. Here's my dark horse trade. This is the Dan Gilbert special. Georges Niang, Isaac Okoro, Jalen Tyson for Draymond Green.
Ugh.
Boo.
It's a boo, but honestly, he would be the perfect third big for the Cavs.
And with that, Nathan Smith's tenure at Cavs the Blog is just ended.
No, I'm with you. Like, I'm trolling for sure. Yeah, I was totally joking, guys.
Let the hate totally mail joking, flow.
What'd you say?
He's totally joking, but he's not.
I know, he's not joking. Let the hate mail flow.
If I had any power, here's why I'm not I'm joking and not joking at the same time, because I have zero influence on what actually happens. So I'll just spitball till eternity, right? Yeah. I mean, Harrison Barnes, I feel like Harrison Barnes would be super gettable, but You're right. He's not a very good rebounder. He's not a very good shooter. Like, he has a stupid contract. He's $18 million this year and next, and he's playing way below that, I would say, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that rate, you keep Georges Niang.
And there's always Zach, I'm going to do something stupid every time I'm on the court, Collins.
No, screw that freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a Hitler haircut.
The one that pisses me off more than anything is the Cavs totally could have grabbed Goga Batadze in the offseason, and they didn't, and he's killing it for the Magic, right?
Nah, there was no chance.
No, they could have. He's on a minimum contract. Why is my voice so high?
He's starting for Orlando.
Yeah, and he's still on a minimum contract. That's how dumb it was.
That's what they had to entice him.
That's how dumb it was to that they. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Eat a Richard. There's not a lot of great options out there for the Cavs. So I don't know. I don't know what they do. The funnest story in the NBA right now is Jimmy Butler just imploding the Miami Heat because he can't get a extension on his $45 million a year contract. Right? That's all filling us with a little bit of schnaudenfreude joy, right?
It is pretty funny.
It is very funny.
Yeah.
I want slop. Thank God for Jimmy Butler.
Oh yeah, no, he's
nothing's happening. I disagree with your take. It was a terrible take. CJ McCollum to the Hague for his CBA negotiations.
Why is that?
Because the taxes ruin everything.
Yeah.
The apron and everything. Yeah.
Well, I mean that was the only. Why are you blaming? He's still getting paid. The players are still getting played. It was the owners that put those rules in.
No, he's the president.
I get it, but he's the one that agreed to the owner's proposals.
What kind of leader is he?
No, he's the one that agreed to the owner's proposals so that he could get his monies.
He was like, please, Adam Silver, bend me over. Yeah, oh, do you want, oh, sorry, oh, you poor owners. Do you need some more cash? Oh, here you go.
He's still getting paid. They just have less roster flexibility. Like, I don't know what you want. You can have money or roster flexibility, and you can't have both.
He killed the middle class is what he did. He killed the middle class of the NBA.
Well, that may be true. What about, do you think there's any...
CJ Pinkerton.
What about Minnesota? Do you think Minnesota tries to dump contracts anymore?
No, I think they're so sunk in they gotta stay.
I feel like if the Cavs would take on salary, they'd think about it. Like Naz Reid, like you would 100% go for Naz Reid, right, guys?
Oh yeah,
he'd be the perfect third big for the Cavs.
Yep.
If you could give up
Julius Randle, come on down.
Oh, eat a rich. Julius Randle is like tits on a tomcat. He's useless.
That's such a specific.
Okay, Grandpa. What the fuck?
No, that was a.
Who was Joe Jackson in the movie?
That was a saying.
Grave.
Moonlight Graham over here. That was a saying my old boss used to make, and I thought it'd be funny.
Yeah, his name, Old Tom Morris.
No, his name was Gary Muravchek. Old Tom. Who is Old Tom Morris? Who is that?
Famous golfer, like from the 1800s.
The legend of Bagger Vance all up
exactly.
In this mug.
Yes, yeah. I think he played against Bagger Vance.
Nice. Nice. Is there anybody else out there, guys, or have I exhausted slop season? This is, I will agree with you, Chris. This is a boring-ass slop season, right?
It's terrible.
Nobody can make a move. They're all paralyzed.
Jimmy's trying his best, and what does he get? Just a suspension, because Pat Riley is Pat Riley.
Oh, I think 100%.
Sockless curmudgeon. Shout out to EG.
I don't think he gets moved. I think they dare him to opt out of his contract.
Oh, 100%.
And he's going to opt
Riley
in.
He has the ego to see that. To drive.
But also, he's not going to opt out. He's going to opt in. Yeah, you, there's no way you walk away from 40-something odd million dollars out of pride, right?
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way.
But his value is only going to be worse. Like,
I mean, I'm talking about that man, Jimmy Butler.
What do you mean, Eli?
I think it's hilarious that his nickname is Jimmy Buckets, but he's like terrible at shooting.
He's not terrible at shooting. He's just terrible at shooting outside of 20 feet.
Hey, Eli, are there any contenders that could sign him to a free agent deal? Like, say he did opt out. Are there any contenders or any?
New Jersey. That's it.
That's it. No. New Jersey would do it, though. So. New Jersey would give him a max contract, right?
Yeah, they're stupid enough to do that.
And they're desperate. Who do they have?
Could you imagine paying Jimmy Butler like $60 million at 36 years old, though?
No, exactly. It's the dumbest thing ever. Like, Jimmy Butler just doesn't get how age works. Like, that's the dumbest thing about this whole thing. He's not LeBron. If he was LeBron, you'd think about it. But he's never won a damn thing.
He almost beat LeBron.
His mama was right to kick him out.
Wow. Wow. What do you think about the Mavs? Are the Mavs, they're not going to make a move, right? Actually, no. They're in the perfect setup because they're just under the first apron. They just got to get healthy.
Yeah. And they're going to be like the scariest team to play in that play-in for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the problem.
They're just coasting. Yeah, they're like a late first Cleveland or LeBron. They're just coasting and getting into the.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I got a question for you guys. Who is the team you are least scared of in the playoffs?
Oklahoma City.
I got to go with Memphis.
Yeah, I think Memphis.
Memphis.
No, they at least rebound.
Well, that's true. There's the guy. You.
And Ja's a gamer. More of a gamer than SGA.
What? Have you heard the whole thing of like Jimmy Butler wants to be traded to any team but Memphis? And it's 100% because Memphis won't sign him to an extension, right?
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Really? Memphis came out and said that?
No, it just...
Out he would not go to Memphis.
Oh, I mean, okay. So people are reading between the lines. The implication is there.
Yeah,
so.
He's 100% all about making more money and not, like, just playing basketball. Like, how much do you think would be solved with this if he just went out and played basketball, right? Like, he might make $30 million a year instead of 46. That's the issue. Like, he wants to keep making $46 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but dumb.
He doesn't deserve it. I mean, like,
no. And he's mad that he can't get it. And he walked off the court today because he found out he wasn't going to be starting. Even though he's been a little baby for them. I'm not going to use the other B word. For the last month. Like, It is very dumb. The whole situation is very dumb. I don't know.
It's actually hilarious.
It is, yeah.
But couldn't happen to a better squad.
Oh, yeah, Heat culture, baby. Yeah.
Max Strus is Heat culture. Max Strus, better.
I don't know. He's kind of stunk this month.
Honestly, Struce has kind of pissed me off lately.
Yeah, he's been a traffic cone on D before tonight.
The fuck? 8 rebounds and a plus 20?
Before tonight. Do the words before tonight mean anything to you?
He was going to take him forever to get healthy. How long did he miss? He missed a lot of freaking time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect him to even look normal until post All-Star break.
Well, let's hope so. So, okay, guys.
He's also not young anymore.
How old is he now? 28?
Yeah, 28.
That he's in his prime. He's like you. Aren't you 28, Eli?
No. I'm like closer to Jimmy Butler than Max Strus.
Yeah.
I'm closer to Michael Jordan than I am to Max Strus. Okay, guys. Give me your pitches for this week. What do you got? Stop typing. Whoever's typing, stop typing and give me your pitches.
Man,
give me your pitches, bitches.
Pitches, bitches. What am I going to pitch? What am I going to pitch? That's a great question. Oh, I'll know what I'll pitch. Shout out to the local officials in the city of Lorraine. Got to meet a whole bunch of them at the MLK Day function.
Nice.
Nice community leaders we have in the city of Lorraine. And shout out to all them, their civic leadership. Hopefully do some good work for the community out there. So shout out to those people.
Nice.
Shout out to the mayor.
I'm going to
forget his name, but he's cool.
Okay, now hot Googling action. Who's the mayor of Lorraine?
I don't know. I heard he was some big shot defense lawyer, actually.
The mayor of Lorraine is Michael Hammers. If they're... Oh, that's Lorraine, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
I don't know. That's a pretty badass name, though, right? Yeah, Michael Hammers.
Michael Hammers, yeah, that's true.
I mean, Chris Rittenhour. Does that sound familiar?
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Rittenhour, mayor of the city of Lorraine, Ohio. Shout out. Yeah. Eli, you got anything to pitch?
No, I don't.
Nothing.
Wow, nothing. I was surprised.
You haven't drank a beer, gone anywhere, ridden in a car, watched a movie, listened to music. Nothing?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I do say this. Someone in my life got the Cybertruck.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought this podcast was almost over, but it's just getting started. Lay it on me, Eli.
I'm not going to lie. I thought the car was pretty cool, man.
Oh, my goodness. So this is the best. I live in Michigan, and there is a person in Lansing that owns a Cybertruck. And that's not the funny part of this story. There's a person also in Lansing that has made up a fake Cybertruck out of cardboard boxes and aluminum foil and another pickup truck that drives around and parks wherever the Cybertruck is.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
Just to troll them.
Yeah, incredible troll work.
Yeah, that's next level, right?
You got to respect that hustle, man.
You got to respect that. Okay, give us a review of the Cybertruck. Is it nice inside?
It's not. It's more like, I just think it's very unique. And that's why I thought, and it was just better than I thought, honestly.
Okay.
It drives a little weird because like the steering, I guess, is not like, it's not a normal steering wheel. It's like, I don't know how to describe it.
You're not selling me.
I'm not trying to sell you. I know you'll never buy one.
Oh no, I'm just listening. I'm loving it. It's nothing but love, my friend.
But
I'm drunk on your words.
The funny part is the person who bought it is my girlfriend, and she's like 5'3". So getting seen
wow in
this car is hilarious.
Eli's girlfriend coming up big in the clutch.
Yeah. So
nice. So
I see.
It was cooler than I thought. Everyone like comes up and like tries to touch it and stuff, which I think is kind of weird.
So I have.
How does it feel being a sugar baby? Eli.
She got Korean Channing Frye as arm candy.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the other thing is, I don't know. I was like a skeptic, but I think it's cool.
Nice. So I have a similar situation in that I have a car that everybody asks me about when I drive it. I actually own a 2022 Polestar 2. And I don't know if you're familiar with Polestar.
Oh, yeah.
But it is an electric car. It's pretty badass. So I will say there is something about a car that turns heads that's a lot of fun. It's my most favorite to drive vehicle that I've ever owned, and it just handles like the best vehicle I've ever ridden, and it's amazing in the snow. Like, it's super fun to drift in it on the ice. Like, and we have gotten, so my shout out this week is not the Polestar. It is the Toro electric snow thrower or electric snowblower, and I have like three, like, 7.2 amp hour batteries that go in it. And it has taken, we have gotten about 3 feet in the last week. From basically the Friday before MLK weekend out to this last Sunday, we got about 3 feet. And it's taken, huh?
3 feet of snow.
Yeah, so I'm the city I live in has gotten about 19 inches on average, but I'm only about 2 miles from the lake, and we've just gotten absolutely dumped on with lake effect. And like literally the snow is right below, like obviously some of this is coming from the snowblower, but is right below my guest bedroom window and right below my mailbox. It is a buttload of snow. And I have taken care of all of it with my Toro electric snowblower. So there you go. Free Toro, Ed. So, yes, it is. It has been absolutely stupid here for about a week and a half. And my daughter last week missed 4 days of school and then just went back on Friday. And then my daughter that's at university was home the whole week because she kind of got trapped here because my wife didn't want her driving home. So, and of course her school was virtual till Friday too. So we've gotten a stupid amount of snow here.
That is a lot of snow.
It was a lot. Yeah. I feel like I'm living in frickin' Geauga County or out in Lorain, if you will. So.
Actually, Lorain gets no lake effect.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It goes over them or past them, right?
Past them, yep.
Yeah.
Southeast, Ashtabula.
Yeah, Ashtabula, yeah, right. So mine is weird because sometimes it goes over us and goes 20, 30 miles east, and sometimes it dumps right on us, and then 5 miles east of us, they don't get any. So it's weird.
Yep, I know. Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But
nature's awesome.
Toro electric snowblower, you can't go wrong. So
non-paid ad.
Hey, I'm all about the electric tools, so I save the environment one EV battery at a time. Sure, why not?
Think of those kids mining those battery for us.
What'd you say?
Just think of those little kids mining those batteries for us.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah, those little kids running that backhoe.
That's right.
Little Chinese kids running that backhoe, learning them skills.
Yeah.
And that's
they need their Upton Sinclair. They need their
Jesus. This podcast is weird as shit. And with that, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Welcome back to Cavs, a podcast. There's one thing I wanted to say. My absolute favorite moment of the evening was when JB challenged an out-of-bounds play tonight and screwed it up. He turned a jump ball into a Cavs possession by challenging a play he never should have challenged. And it was classic JB, right? Like, you remember that play, right?
Are we nominating JB Bickerstaff for Junkyard Dog Chain tonight?
Oh, absolutely. We are nominating JB for the JYB. Junkyard Bickerstaff. The Crumble Award 2024.
Visit your local Cleveland Crumble Cookies.
Oh, my gosh. Eli, did you see that play?
I did. It was hilarious.
It was. Were you thinking of us?
I still can't believe how bad he is at challenges.
It's like you would almost have to try to be as bad at challenges as he is. Almost feel like it's a gag at this point, right?
It's like,
I think it is a gag. I think he does it like as a spiritual point of like, I'm so mad at the refs, I'm just going to challenge
him. It's like it's Sisyphusian. It's chaotic, if you will. Yeah. Quixotic. Oh man, I'm never been happier to have Kenny Anderson as my coach, even though he didn't put Jared Allen in at the end of the game again in the first Houston game, which just pissed me off for the tip in with 2.9 seconds left and a give up shot from Donovan Mitchell, but whatever. He's still a better coach than JB Bickerstaff will ever be. Go Cavs. Yep.
Go Cavs.
Who cares?
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.